Ed Hudson. I'm doing an interview for my Alabama, Dr. Jackson's Alabama History class. This is November the 14th when I'm going to be interviewing W.F. Duncan. Okay, Mr. Duncan, I want to start off with some family background here. Where were you born and when and in what part of this? And give me some background about where you were born.
I was born June the 9th, 1917. I was in home for birth,
right,
by the doctor that made household.
Okay. Who are your tell us something about your mom and dad and any brothers or sisters.
Well, my daddy, he was a farmer, but he was a music teacher. Gospel music, music for that. But he was a farmer by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a farmer's wife.
Okay.
And I had a brother, a sister, and another brother with my family, other than myself, before.
Okay, where were you born?
In Etowah County.
Born in Etowah County in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And how long did you live there, and have you lived there?
Well, I lived there all my life.
Lived in Etowah County all your life. Okay. So you were born there. Mr. Duncan, can you tell us what kind of role you played in your home, at your house, and working-wise, and how this affected your education, and what kind of education did you get?
Well, I finished high school, but I did not finish on time. I had to lay out and help my daddy plant the crop.
Okay.
While my older brother drove a school bus.
Oh, okay.
And therefore, I got behind a couple of years that I did graduate. Right.
So you're working at home. You finished school, but it caused you to slow down. You had to stay outside to help with the farm. Okay. Okay, Mr. Duncan, I want to concentrate now on an area where I want to focus a lot of our interview, and that's you grew up during a time when there were a lot of racial tensions and a lot of discrimination going on, and I want to first off ask you, you went to Hope's Bluff. Can you give us some stuff about the education that blacks got as compared to whites while you were growing up?
Well, I went to school, it's first called up sixth grade. I had to walk about a mile to school. When I got into seventh grade, a junior one, mm-hmm. we got to ride the bus to high school, had to cross the field, mm-hmm. and ride back and forth to school. But the blacks in our community, they had to walk across the field about 8 or 10 miles to their school.
So they were having to walk that far while y'all were riding?
That's why we got to ride.
They weren't allowed on the bus?
They weren't allowed on the bus.
Did y'all go to the same school?
No.
They had separate schools?
Separate schools.
Separate schools for the blacks and whites. What were the white schools better off? Were the conditions in the white schools better?
Well, I can answer that question. I may be going inside of it.
Good point. Okay. How about out in public? Like when you would maybe go shopping or something, would blacks and whites shop together, or would it be segregated?
Well, they would just pass and repass, you know, but to go in a drugstore somewhere to get a drink of water, they wouldn't allow them to have a drink of water. So it's quiet zone. Go to the restroom, and they weren't allowed to use public restrooms.
Would there be signs up that said whites only?
White and closed.
Oh, so there were separate ones. Did some of them, did they have a bathroom, or some of them just not even have one?
Well, you mean in new places? I don't
right,
know.
In public places?
Well, they actually wasn't. There's just a courthouse out in the town.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, there was difference in the treatment of the blacks
so
and the whites.
It was just open. Nobody tried to hide their discrimination.
But the blacks, if they come to your house, they didn't go to the front door. They went around to the back door. And if you own the bar or something, or do something like that, they weren't allowed to go to the front door.
What about whites who were friendly with blacks? Were they ridiculed or made fun
of?
No,
they weren't. The blacks accepted their condition back then.
The blacks didn't really put up much of a fight?
No, there wasn't no race riots back then.
Okay. Okay, right now I'm going to bring in Ms. Duncan, right now, Mr. Duncan's wife, and she's going to be part of the interview as well. Ms. Duncan, where were you born and when?
Well, I grew up in Dale County. I was born in Dale County.
That's in Alabama?
That's in South Alabama.
South Alabama.
Dale County is South Alabama. And what else did you ask about?
Well, I said, when were you born?
Oh, I was born 1990, June the third, not too matching.
Okay, and South Alabama. What were your parents? I mean, were both your parents living at home, or did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I had two brothers and four sisters. There were seven of us.
Big family.
Big family. And we lived on the farm, and my father sometimes worked white people on the farm.
Okay.
You know, hired them to come in and help us pick cotton.
Right.
And,
so,
and all the things
farm
that
we
did. And they were humble type people. They didn't expect to be equal with us.
Right.
They were never used to anything like that. And, and they ate on the kitchen table when we ate on the dining table. And another thing, like when we went, when they came to our church, they sit on the back seat. They did visit church sometimes. People were very, you know, cordial to them. We were all friends and worked together good. But they just stayed in their place, and that's where they wanted to stay.
Did you live in Dale County all your life, or did you move there from at one time? And if you did, why and where did you move to?
Well, I left Dale County in 42 and came to Ewok to work at Vivian.
Okay, good.
And my father died, and me and my youngest brother didn't want to farm any longer, so we just sold out everything and come on and went to Public Works, and we both came to Goodyear and worked while, and I met my husband there.
That's good. Okay, did y'all both catch this? Were there any blacks that worked at Goodyear? Or was it strictly whites?
Yeah, there were some blacks. But they wasn't allowed the better job. They were janitorial and stuff of that nature.
What about the pay? Was the pay worse for blacks?
I think it was a little worse.
It was worse for blacks, okay.
But now, when I went to work at Goodyear in 1938, the rate of hiring in was 32 cents an hour. So that figured $2.56 a day. Which that was more than I was making on the farm.
There wasn't any blacks in the department that I worked in.
Okay. You both mentioned how blacks, and especially in the 30s, like were kind of content with their position in society. They were considered second class citizens and not on the same level as whites. Could you talk about that a little bit more? How they were viewed and that kind of stuff.
Well, this lady, I don't know her name. What's her name?
Rosa Parks.
She started the thing. Right after she decided to do that, it changed things.
Right, okay.
That was the beginning of the change, right there.
The Rosa Parks incident on the bus.
Was
the beginning.
Right.
That was the beginning change.
What she done, she got on the bus and set up her on the front with her for white people.
Right.
The bus driver told her to go to the back. She wouldn't go. So I believe she was arrested for not going with us.
Y'all know, what was the sense in Alabama among white people why they started... what made them change? What made them no longer happy being second class?
Well, they were come down from the north and had marches and had this, you know, and agitated the white men, the blacks down here.
Right, start them up down here. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was
demonstrations.
Right, that was the general feeling among the whites in Alabama. Was it the people from the north caused it?
Yeah, they made them feel that they didn't have to put up with.
What were the whites' attitudes toward these people? Were they, did they fight it, or did most people? And I'm not talking about y'all specifically, but did most people, were most people unhappy? Did they want blacks to stay where they were?
Well, it was mostly the town officials that wanted to keep the old tradition, use the water holes. When they demonstrate, you know, what have you.
I think there were a lot of Christian people that felt for them, but yet nobody really come forth and said so.
A lot of people felt deep inside that it was wrong, but they didn't want to step out.
I think Christians, there were a lot of Christians that really felt for them, and all, and so, but then there were still some that were hostile to them, and would always be probably, till this day, there's still some, you know. But I think, you know, that it began to wake Christians up, and they began to see that they did need to have more understanding and more equal.
Well, y'all grew up in a day when the Ku Klux Klan was more than just a myth or a legend. Do y'all remember much about the Klan, and what kind of activities did they do?
Yeah, in South Alabama, where I grew up, if a black man done anything, he got hung immediately.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't even hesitate.
And it was the Klan did it?
Well, it was likened to a Klan. Yeah, they had Klans, but all white men was a part of it.
Oh, really?
In that day.
What about like the, you know, you see the people, you know, in the open about the white robes and the pointed hoods, yeah. The job, was that kind of stuff common? Did you see it often?
Well, we didn't. Whenever I heard there's going to be a Ku Klux Klan rally, I was away from that place.
We heard lots about it, but our families weren't involved. My family wasn't involved in it, so I really, you know, as a
but girl, you knew it was going on?
Yeah, we knew it was going on.
And
like I said, they might not even have dressed. Back when my mother would tell me about how it was, that people, every time a black harmed a white person, they were hung immediately.
Right. Okay.
By the white men.
So the police or the government officials, they didn't try to do anything about this. They just kind of let it go on.
Yeah, because really, the law was on the white side at that time.
Okay. I'll ask you a few questions now. You know, as you mentioned, you know, things started changing, and all the the Montgomery in 1956, the federal court made Montgomery desegregate its bus system as a, you know, as a result of the Rosa Parks issue that we already mentioned, and different things started happening. As this kind of thing was happening, do y'all remember that stuff happening? And as it did, how many of the people were doing something about it, or how many people were just kind of sitting back letting it go?
Well, they do more talking than anything. Yeah.
More talking than anything? Okay.
Well, it was on the news.
Right.
We had TVs then, and we saw it, you know, and all, but I can't remember exactly how it went because, you know, it's been a while since I even read or heard anything on it. But still, you know, it led up to this long demonstration that Hickey, what's his name?
That's what I was asking about, Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yeah, Martin Luther King.
Okay, everybody knows his name. He was a big figure. In 1965, he led a march from Selma to Montgomery, a demonstration march, kind of started the civil rights movement. What did the name Martin Luther King Jr., and please, you know, be honest, you know, what it meant to you or what it meant in general, how was he perceived among the whites?
Well, he was perceived he wasn't actually accepted by among the whites because he was agitated trying to get the whites and the blacks, you know, against
instead of the troublemaker?
Troublemaker, what we the whites viewed him as.
I think, though, that now a lot of white people have changed their mind about him.
Right. Today, it's probably different, but back then, he was not viewed in a good...
Yeah, we thought he was just stirring up trouble.
Just stirring up trouble. Was he on the news a lot? And, was this unusual for a black to be on the news that much? Was there a lot of resentment because of that?
Well, I guess. I just think the media began to work more. You know?
Yeah, okay.
They were just... They put every little thing on the news because they were, you know, they were just getting involved a little bit more and more. Now it's, you know, it's widespread immediately. Okay. But then they were just beginning to get their, like, getting their hands more into it, you know.
Yeah.
And so every little thing they could learn, they picked it up and put it on news. And that was, that was all the thing. And then after he was murdered, well, you know, it really was everything that come up. His name was mentioned in it for a while.
But you know, on the Jimmy Pettus Bridge in Selma, that's where a lot of confrontation with the law enforcement and the blacks had a pretty good struggle right there. You know, there's I'd say discrimination, you know. Brutality to the blacks.
And the way they went about it in this demonstration, they did it in the coolest way, like blacks had always lived, you know, just dragging their feet and on wagons, and, you know, just kind of made it look sad.
Okay.
To me, I mean, you know, pathetic. And I think they were trying to reach people's hearts by doing that, change people's minds and all by doing it that differently.